Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, on the next Leonard Lopate show, NPR's Roxana Saberi talks about being detained for months in Iran on charges of espionage, plus find out how terrorism suspects are tried in other countries today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Now, New York state politics just get weirder and weirder. Add a third name now to the Republican hopefuls for governor in a year in which it was supposed to be the Democrats to be in a fratricidal primary. He is Western New York businessman Carl Paladino, who may try to launch a Tea Party line as well, we hear. Add him to Democrat-turned-Republican Steve Levy and former Congressman from Long Island Rick Lazio. And some daily news headlines from the last few days. Albany panel says Pauls can party with lobbyists. Federal grand jury probes real estate and nonprofit deals for Malcolm Smith. And Silver goes on vacation as state goes kerflooey. So with us now, Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett. Ken, I wish it was all as funny as those headlines make it sound.
Yeah, it's actually kind of sad, isn't it?
And let's start with the biggest news to keep our eye on the ball, really, before some of the other weirdness and politics. The state is in a fiscal crisis of historic proportions. The fiscal year just began last Thursday, April 1st, and the legislature was on vacation, or the headline, Silver goes on vacation as state goes kerflooey. Where was Speaker Silver? Where were they all last week?
Look, the lawmakers took 10 days off for the Passover/Easter holidays. The Speaker himself, who is an Orthodox Jew, he spends every Passover at a hotel up in Westchester County. Basically, he does it so he doesn't have to re-kosher his house, basically, for the holiday.
Uh-huh.
So it just makes it easier for him. So he spends his time up in Westchester, and there's a good 5 days because of the holidays that he can't work between the 4 days of Passover that prohibits work and then the 1 day of the Jewish Sabbath.
So maybe as a very observant Orthodox Jew, he actually gets a little more of a pass personally than some of the others, but nevertheless, the whole legislature was not meeting as the budget expired.
Exactly. And, the week leading up to the budget expiring and now the first few days afterwards, they're nowhere to be seen. You know, the talks have been ongoing at staff levels, but there really hasn't been any real headway being made.
And what is the state of the budget? What happens when the state has big deficits and no official spending plan as the new fiscal year begins?
Well, if New York has learned anything, because it's very rare that we actually do have an on-time budget, they have kind of perfected it in a way over the years where there's as little pain as possible. This year may be a little different, but they pass an extender. They've passed an extender that runs till April 14th, I believe. So the essential functions of government can still be funded and keep operating.
So what are the political dynamics holding up a budget? Does the state election year have anything to do with it?
The election year and pressure from unions and really the fiscal crisis. I mean, a lot of tough decisions have to be made in a year when the lawmakers have to face the voters. So, for instance, the governor proposed over $1 billion in school aid cuts. The Senate, at least in their resolution, their own budget resolution, said we can support those cuts, but the Assembly wants to restore $600 million of what the governor proposed. The Assembly wants to borrow $2 billion, up to $2 billion, to help close a $9 billion deficit. The Senate has been a little shaky on that. The governor proposed taxing, increasing the cigarette tax and allowing the sale of wine in stores and the legislature, and of course, taxing sugar drinks like soda. The legislature so far has opposed most of that.
Listeners, anything you want to say on New York State without a budget, day five, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are you blaming anybody? Do you care? Are you rooting for one version of this or another? 212-433-9692. Or if you want to talk about any of the people running for governor, 212-433-9692. 9692 with Ken Lovett, the Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. On those politics and why, you know, some lawmakers don't want to approve the cuts that other lawmakers do, do you think lawmakers running for re-election have more incentive to look like deficit hawks in an emergency period like this, or like they're staving off cuts to their districts?
I think I think that's what they're wondering, because right now, you know, we know there's an angry electorate out there. We saw it not only in Massachusetts with the Scott Brown election to the Senate, the U.S. Senate, but we've seen it in Westchester County and Nassau County, where previously popular incumbents, county executives, Democrats, went down this past November. So I think there is a fear of, like, how to proceed and what to do. And, you know, that means, do we cut spending to schools? Do we cut spending for health care? Do we, you know, tax our way out of it? Do we borrow our way out of it? The Senate Democrats, who are trying to keep control of the Senate, right now they only have a two-person advantage, you know, 32 to 30, so it's as slim as it possibly can be. They do not want to raise any taxes. They say they're against any fee increases, and up until now they said they don't want to borrow, although that seems to be softening a little bit.
Are state tax refund checks being sent now?
No. The tax refunds, yes. As of April 1st, the money that was being withheld has been freed.
And are contractors being paid? There was a question about that, wasn't there?
Yeah, no. The governor has said until there's a budget, he will not pay contractors, which could affect up to 500 jobs, you know, road jobs in the state. And, you know, the contractors are threatening a lawsuit, and they're saying it could mean thousands of jobs overall will be lost because of it.
John on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My question is, I keep hearing about, you know, budget shortfalls, deficits, and we're going to have to deal with this. And it feels to me like people are saying, okay, the basement is flooded, now we're going to mop it up. And what is going to be the problem when we mop it up? What is that going to do? Oh, the cost of the water mopping, the cost of buckets, the mops, you know, how? And no one's ever talking about turning off the faucet or even discussing which faucet is leaking. Where did this money go? Why isn't the media, you know, particularly NYC is about as progressive as you're going to get, you must have access to, you know, about the budget and can make it understandable to, you know, the general public. Where's the money going? Why do we have the deficit?
Well, we've talked about it a lot. Ken has reported on it a lot in the Daily News. And Ken, how would you start to answer John right now?
Well, I think actually the analogy he used is a good analogy. Put it this way. Say it's been raining for the last week and your basement keeps getting flooded. What the legislature traditionally has done and what it seems to be trying to do right now again is cleaning up the water as it comes in. The problem is, and what leaves New York in a real shortfall year after year, is that no one is coming up with the structural reform to stop the basement from flooding in the first place. And even now, with all the problems that New York faces, they're looking at how do we solve this year's problem. There's really no talk right now about any significant structural reform that would take effect, that would impact future years. Now, the Lieutenant Governor, Richard Ravitch, he came up with a plan that said, all right, you know, we'll let the state borrow up to $2 billion a year for the next 3 years to help, you know, reduce deficit. However, with that, we're going to put a lot of restrictions on spending, including an oversight review board, giving the governor power to make cuts unilaterally if there is a fiscal crisis and the legislature is not addressing it. And the assembly said, okay, we'll do the borrowing aspect of the plan, but they really watered down the reform part of the plan.
And part of, I think, you know, to part of the basis of John's question, part of what makes this so difficult is that there aren't kind of a lot of bad guy lines in the budget. Sure, there are some, but the overwhelming expenditures that a state has are on education and on health. And nobody wants to be the ones to say, well, you can't have schools and you can't have health care. So, go ahead.
And here's a great thing. You know, anything the governor has tried, and, you know, a lot of people say the governor made mistakes and hasn't really stuck to what he has said he wanted to do. And that argument certainly can be made. But the other thing is, every time he proposes something, okay, we're going to cut schools and we're going to cut health care. No, you can't do that. All right, we're going to raise the tax on sugary drinks like soda because it's leading to obesity and that increases health care costs. The money we raise from the tax will alleviate the need for health care cuts. No, you can't do that. We're not raising taxes. Okay, we're going to close some parks. No, you can't do that. All right, we're going to withhold for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, we're going to withhold state income tax returns, checks. No, you can't do that. So every time, you know, someone proposes anything to address the crisis, someone complains mm-hmm. that he can't do it.
Lara in Windsor Terrace. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, actually, it's Lars.
Lars, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to say that I agree with what your guest just said. It seems like there's just a political culture where every time there's some new way to raise money for the state, say Patterson's license plates, where he wanted to propose new license plates and everybody paid a $25 fee, everyone was up in arms. And the bottom line is nobody wants to pay for the services that they rely on every day. And I think that it's the voters' culture. They vote in people who say that they're not going to raise taxes, and then they get punished if they have to raise fees for or anything else to raise enough money to pay for the state budget. And the other thing is also I think people need to take another look at how retirement is made for all these entitlement programs where people can spike their retirement income based on the last 5 years of their income, which includes overtime and all that. And I think that people just really need to take a step back and take responsibility. I mean, we've been demanding lower taxes, and we don't want this budget to be on everybody's shoulders. But at the same time, we're demanding all these services that cost money and the money has to come from somewhere.
Lars, thank you very much. We have 2 minutes for the gubernatorial politics drill. Ken, you ready?
Yes, let's go. Lightning round.
The lightning round. Republican race gets more interesting today. Most downstaters have never heard of the new entrant, Carl Paladino. Who is he?
He is a real estate developer up from the Buffalo area. He's a Tea Party movement guy, and he's a flamethrower. He angered some people a few weeks ago when he likened the health care reform law to – he said that it would kill more people ultimately than the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
And you report today that he has a 10-year-old child out of wedlock. My first reaction to that is it's not relevant to the race. Should we care about that, in your opinion? Is that going to be relevant to what Steve Levy or Rick Lazio have to say about this guy?
No. In the scheme of things, you know, it's his personal life, but he is someone who espouses values and family values, and it is an issue. Look, it was an issue with John Edwards. It's an issue. I mean, the voters can decide whether they feel it's relevant in these times.
And where's Andrew Cuomo? What is he doing as the presumed Democratic nominee, not yet in the race, the most likely next governor, I guess, with this complete power vacuum around the current administration?
Andrew Cuomo's hoping for two things. One, he wants to wrap up a couple of things that he's working on, notably an investigation into Senator Pedro Espada, the Senate Majority Leader. But also he's hoping that the lawmakers in Patterson can come to an agreement on the budget so he doesn't have to answer questions as the budget stalemate drags on.
When will he announce his candidacy at the latest?
My guess is within 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, that's pretty soon. They won't have a budget in 2 to 3 weeks, right?
Well, they may. They may. I mean, look, these guys don't want to go out on the campaign trail with no budget. And for as far as Cuomo's concerned, I mean, the state Democrats in late May or early June are going to have their convention, so he certainly has to do it before then.
All right. Well, you raise an interesting question there at the end. How long can a budget be delayed in an election year before voters actually hold it against the incumbents running for legislature? We may find out. Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett, thanks a lot.
Anytime. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.